and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back, WTCM's New Retirement Radio. We have appropriate professionals live in our studio from Prout Financial Design. We'll begin today by saying hello to Mr. Prout, Mr. Dennis Prout, CFP.
CFP. Thank you, Ron.
Yes, sir.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much. On November 5th, 2020, and with me, Heidi Thompson.
Good morning.
Shay Pataja.
Hello.
Welcome, ladies. It is great to be here, and thank you for those of you who are listening. Our million-plus listeners, right, Ron? I'm sure. It's huge.
Last I checked there, yes.
Yes, well, yes. You know, I was just taking my cues from Wisconsin. Apparently more people are voting there than actually are registered, so.
If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate.
Well, this is not done, as I've briefly referenced here. As you all know, this is a very interesting vote indeed here in 2020, and the interest does not go down. The interest tabulation only seems to go higher. So in light of that, I wanted to start with a tongue-in-cheek article I thought was particularly funny from The Onion. And this is in regards to the campaign between Amy McGrath, or the contest between Amy McGrath and Mitch McConnell. Apparently the pundits were actually saying this one was up for grabs. He won by 20% in Kentucky, about 500,000 votes. It just shows how wrong the pundits.
Yeah.
Everybody looking back on this, Wisconsin was about 17 points apparently for Biden. Yeah. Wound up being very tight. I think right now, according to the numbers, it's about 20,000 different.
Yeah.
But this is incredible. So anyway, apparently a lot of people were voting for Amy McGrath by giving to her campaign, including, I'm guesstimating, from Silicon Valley as well. So here's what she apparently said. The Onion jokingly revealed how McGrath was going to burn through the remaining cash that she raised, about $90 million by her campaign, by throwing herself a lavish concession bonanza. We may not have beat Mitch McConnell last night, but this grassroots movement isn't finished. We're taking it to Dubai, Monaco, and hitting up the casinos in Singapore, McGrath fictitiously said in the report. I'd be nothing without my amazing team of staff, volunteers, the Bengal Tiger trainers, Madonna, and the dozens of bunnies passing out Dom Perignon. And of course, above all else, I'd like to thank my family and you two, the band,
yes,
who were very expensive to book and fly in privately, so be sure to check them out after the Blue Angel show.
Yes.
According to The Onion, McGrath reminded attendees to not forget to pick up their Fabergé egg gift bags near the front gate between the second dolphin pool and Kylie Jenner selfie station.
You know, you lose, you have to take care of yourself. They're your supporters.
It's amazing how wrong the pundits were. And in retrospect here, hopefully, I remember seeing Lindsey Graham being interviewed, and he was sweating how close it appeared to be. And he won by 11% or so of the vote. That's about 250,000 over his competitor there in South Carolina.
I've never report the polls for that reason, well, for several reasons. Mm-hmm. But you think about when you watch hear, read the news as the latest poll shows. How irrelevant is that? That day it was a big deal, but it was totally irrelevant because the only poll that matters, well, we're still trying to figure out what the outcome is. But
I was just going to say.
We still don't know the outcome. But.
The actual vote. And so it would appear that we have five states up for grabs, not just four. Of course, we have Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and of course, Nevada. But apparently Arizona is in play as well. We'll wait to see what happens there. So it's not over till the fat lady sings.
That's right.
As some people would say.
That's right.
And the message is, what can I do? Now, statistically, what's happening here? Are we listening now?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What's happening is the market in the last 5 days, up about 1,000 points on the Dow. October was very negative indeed, and as it turns out, was much too negative. So don't always listen to your inclinations. If we have a Biden presidency, the fear was increasing taxes, you know, amazingly increasing spending. Well, that's all been tamped down significantly by the Senate.
Right.
The Senate is now tied at 48, I think, apiece.
Yeah, they think the Republicans will maintain a majority, slight, but still a majority.
And that's incredible. And the other side of that story is, I think, six GOP women gained their respective seats, brand new representatives within the Senate itself. Mm. So there are some amazing things at play behind the scenes. And this rally, I state, is a result of the Senate not going to the Democrats. And speaking of another huge inaccuracy in the polling that said it was going to be a tidal wave of blue in the Senate. Dead wrong. Hugely wrong.
So the market likes the fact if it's a Republican majority Senate, they can act as a little bit of a firewall between drastic changes, including tax increases.
Somewhat.
Okay.
Somewhat. Yeah. Absolutely. So vis-a-vis the tech shares jumping up about 6% yesterday, Google, Amazon, the major names, up between 5 and 7% in one day. One day.
What's Amazon now, roughly? Do you know stock?
$3,600. I don't know. What is it? What?
Per share.
One moment, please.
More than I can afford.
That's very expensive.
So long ago when they were all about books and they just started to sell like appliances or stepped up, I thought, they've established that outpost.
$33.54, Ron. Yeah, interrupt. $33.54 a share.
Nobody would beat them at that. They were first. Mm-hmm. So I thought I should throw money into Amazon. I thought. Did I do it?
Yeah.
No.
It's painful, isn't it?
I never did that.
Don't think about it, Ron.
Yeah, remember that show we talked about where Shay, if she would have put her $1,200 into that when she graduated?
Yeah.
So a few
Over
years ago,
million.
It'd be worth more than
if
a million
I would have just
today.
Left it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Okay, sera.
Easy come, easy go. Mm.
So the question is, what can you do? Well, obviously, you can vote, which all those who voted, and as I actually voted in Acme Township a day early because I wanted to avoid the crowd, so I gave it in person to them, my vote, and absentee, if you will, and they were allowing that in the day before. But the next day, the next morning, I purposely looked at the parking lot in Acme Township, and it was amazing to watch. I honestly wanted to cheer because both front and back parking lots were jammed, and the line looked to be about 50 or so people waiting outside to vote.
Wow.
And I just say, oh my gosh, what a huge, huge it's amazing we had this percentage of the populace actually go out and express their opinion. And that's where the power is. We need to continue to keep that power in our own hands and push back against sometimes it's overreach. Mm-hmm. We're apparently seeing some of that in being able to observe the actual voting. Yeah. I was telling Shay and Heidi, I remember as a child being in Isabella County, and my mom was a county clerk. They had a whole seating area available for people to watch the tallies going on and see it for themselves for accountability purposes. And we need to have observers out there watching what's going on. That's accountability. It's the vote. Obviously, it means something. And if there is wrongdoing going on, that needs to be held accountable, mm-hmm. too. So it's important, isn't it?
It is.
Amazing. Our freedoms are only as good as long as we protect those freedoms. Isn't that the case? So that the pushback is the case. That's going on, yep. key as well. Now, so the pushback that you can do yourself, what can that be? It's understanding that you are in control. I was actually saying this to myself this morning. I'm in control. I'm in control, not obviously of everything, but what can I be in control of? I can be in control of my spending financially. I can be in control of how much I'm saving. I can be in control of where I'm allocating those funds. And understanding that as dicey as an economy and or a tax strategy looks, it's probably, and I'll say this, probably still the best game in town. It's called freedom, and we still have it. And while we still have it, let's hang on to it, shall we?
Amen. The best game in town.
It is.
Not perfect, but the best game in town.
As shown here by a report, Market Perspectives. Do we have something? What's going on? We got a call, phone call?
Take a call before you get into that. Prout Financial Design in with New Retirement Radio. Brian is in Interlaken. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Dennis, accountability?
Yes.
And the game. I would like to see the Michigan-Ohio State football game played with no referees and no officials.
That might actually be fun.
Yeah. So, amen to you, brother. I'm with you 100%. When you were talking, that just popped into my mind. I had to call.
All right. It's a great illustration, Brian.
God bless America.
Amen.
Amen.
Brian, you rock. Thank you so much for that.
All right, Brian.
That's interlocking. Awesome. I'm telling you, there is an amazing opportunity here in these United States of America in the coming years, and we were talking about this in terms of relatively low tax rates. The government requirements, the government regulations that are out there have really been pushed back, and interest rates, historic lows. These all present just amazing opportunity for us. So as noisy and sometimes ugly as the national stage is, you have to keep your heads. And I'm speaking to myself here about where the opportunities lie. They're still significant. They're still significant. Shay, that I think that stat was in regards to one of your stats that you had.
I'm just thinking of Ed Slott last week. Listen, there's always going to be a reason to be negative, but you got to stay positive. There's a lot of silver linings here.
Convert to the Roth IRA. Convert.
Yes. He was saying, he was speaking religiously for sure. Now, most of what he said was accurate, but I frankly disagreed with him on the taxes are going up regardless. The taxes are going to be very different given different administrations. So. That was another issue. Anyway.
I don't remember. I mean, I read this stat this morning that the state of Ohio has correctly backed the winner of the U.S. presidential election in each of the last 14 races of the White House. So 1964 to 2016, and that's from usconstitution.net.
The difference for Trump there was about 500,000 in Ohio. We looked at that as Shay was telling us that quote.
I have so many good Shay stats today, so we'll just wait.
All right.
They're good.
Stay tuned.
Responsible, and what can you do about your own situation? We would anticipate taxes going up. You're going to want to arm yourself for higher tax rates, and what should you do about that? They could go up more or less, depending on what the legislation comes through as, and given what spending might ensue in the coming years. But and maintain your own head and understand, again, what can I do this year? 2020 is an opportunity. It's still 2 months ahead, if you will. We have, in essence, 2 months for you to do your planning this year. So where is your tax bracket? Should you be doing a Roth conversion? Conversation yesterday with a client. Should I still do a QCD, Qualified Charitable Distribution, this year because I don't have to take my RMD? And I said, by all means, you still want to give to this organization, correct? The answer was yes. If you still want to give to them, use your IRA money to fund that gift if you're over 70 and a half. So I know that falls on deaf ears for all of you because you're way under the age of 70 and a half, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. No joke. But anyway, for those of you that are, you can still do the qualified charitable distribution up to $100,000 this year. So the church, the other organization that you love to give to, Heidi, what's up?
Oh, that's my topic today.
Oh, amazing.
How about that?
This is a great lead-in, Dennis.
A lot to talk about today. After we get to the QCDs, we're going to do some Shea stats, but we're also going to talk about the asset classes, according to Vanguard funds, that have the best potential rate of return for the next 10 years. Obviously, this is an estimate from Vanguard, but I thought it might be helpful in terms of taking a look at that. And then in future weeks, we intend to talk about further tax-deductible contributions that we can make, as well as the advantages of tax deferral, especially given the current trajectory of increasing taxes. So, Heidi, qualified charitable distributions,
That's five ways
to do this.
So Dennis was talking about this right before the break, and QCDs. So what is a qualified charitable distribution? So the definition is a QCD is a distribution from an IRA that goes directly to a qualifying charity and is not included in taxable income of the IRA owner. So a QCD cannot be made from an employer plan. A QCD can be up to $100,000 a year per individual. So that's a big range.
You're also taking money from forever taxed places to never taxed because you've not been taxed on any of that money. You got a deduction for it going in there. It's grown tax deferred. And now it'll never be taxed to the extent that you give that whatever amount it is to that charity.
So I have five pieces of information about the QCD. The first one is either an IRA owner or a beneficiary can do a QCD. So the individual must be at least age 70 and a half at the time of the transaction. Reaching 70 and a half later in the year is not enough. Both spouses can do a QCD when each spouse does the QCD from their own IRA.
You also mentioned a beneficiary IRA. What are you referencing there for clarification, Heidi?
A beneficiary IRA is when the original IRA owner has passed away and you, that individual, the beneficiary, receives that IRA and keeps that money in a tax-deferred state in that IRA.
From a non-spouse. When you receive that non-spouse. Yes.
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
All right. So a QCD can be made from an IRA, like we mentioned, but also from an inactive SEP, which is a type of employer plan, or a simple IRA, or a Roth IRA. But the Roth IRA, you should only use funds that are pre-tax amounts, and those usually aren't in Roth IRAs. So I would suggest people stay away from making any kind of attempt of doing a QCD from a Roth. Just stick with your more traditional or tax-deferred money there.
Speaking of IRAs, sub-IRAs, and simple IRAs specifically.
Correct.
Yes.
So the QCD must be a direct transfer to the qualifying charity. A check payable to the charity but sent to the IRA owner does qualify as a QCD as the check written from a checkbook IRA. So if you had an IRA account and you had checks that you write out of that account, that would qualify. But if you receive the money, if the money's made, the check is made out to you, you put it in your checking account, and then you write the check to the charity, that does not qualify.
Sorry, it does not apply.
Hence the term direct.
Mm. Direct.
Hence, yes. So it must be a qualifying charity. So what that means is it cannot be a donor-advised fund or a private foundation. A gift to a charitable gift annuity will also not qualify. A QCD to a charity where the IRA owner has an outstanding pledge will qualify. Hmm. So say you do those, you know, funding drives and you pledge a certain amount, you can fulfill that pledge by doing a QCD. And like Dennis said, if you're going to give to the entity, to the charity, this is the most tax-efficient way to give that money. So if you're going to give it anyway, you should have it go directly from your IRA instead of writing that check yourself out of your regular checking account. So QCDs can also satisfy required minimum distributions, or RMDs, but can be made before the RMD age. The age to make a QCD is 70 and a half, and the RMD age is now 72, and this happened last December in 2019 when the SECURE Act was passed.
As you're saying this, Heidi, I'm still amazed at these conversations that we're having with clients, because this is a daily occurrence, but the importance of having a great team now, given today's changes and what we're going to be seeing in the future, is only increasing. In fact, I had a conversation yesterday with a client talking about this. He said, Dennis, I really don't think I need to go to the level of having, I'll just say it, a great accountant like John Sluice yet. I said, well, think about this. You're going to gain a lot of positive. I said, in this particular gentleman's situation and his wife, by gaining that information from John today and then in the future as you form that relationship. So sometimes these decisions may seem a little early, but at least having some initial conversations with, I'll just say it, a great financial advisor who can help you walk through some of this maze of information, and given the push of responsibility back to us to navigate this, it's never been more important. Having a really good attorney, a really good accountant, and a really good financial advisor, speaking of accountability, that's great for that, but as well as for advice in this advanced tax area.
It's your professional team.
Huge.
So I have one more point, and this is important. The IRA custodian has no special tax reporting for a QCD. So the QCD will be reported on Form 1099-R as a regular distribution. You need to let your accountant know, or note this when if you're doing your own taxes, because there's no special box like there are for other things on those forms.
So the key is, hang on a moment, yeah. The key is you're not going to get this from the reporting from the company that has your IRA. And your accountant, unless he or she knows it, is not going to report it. They're going to report it as taxable income possibly. Now, how Correct. Do we help clients with that, Heidi?
Well, every year we send a letter to all of our clients who have done QCDs over the length of the year to remind them, and they can take that actual letter into their accountant and say, this is what I did for a QCD. Because like Dennis said, if you took out $2,000, but only $500 of that was a QCD, the box is still going to say $2,000.
Right.
So you want to make sure that you get credit for that gift.
Also, the charities, when we've had charities on at different times the last, I don't know, 7 years, they've said, too, that let us know that you gave that gift, because oftentimes where that money goes doesn't translate to the people who maintain relationships with donors and keep up on right. what you've given. So let both know.
Yeah, on the one hand, you don't want to deduct it because it's not a deductible gift. On the other, you don't want to report it as income because then it's costing you the tax when you didn't, indeed, you shouldn't have paid it.
And if you do a QCD and you do that correctly, you can't take an additional deduction for that charitable.
Yes, indeed, that's what I'm saying. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, Heidi. Is that it?
No double dipping.
That's my five tips for today.
Excellent. Appreciate it. Shay, let's hit the stats.
Okay, how about this? Let's see, I've got so many. Let me start here. With just 2 months to go in the calendar year of 2020, the S&P 500 is up 2.8% year-to-date total return as of the close of trading on Friday, October 30th, 2020. Over the last 30 years, from 1990 to 2019, November and December have ranked as the number one and number three best months for the S&P 500, and that's from BTN Research.
Hmm.
Oh, speaking of 1990, I thought this was an interesting stat. It's It's called Double in 30 Years. It would take $1,961 in September of 2020 to have the same purchasing power as of $1,000 in September of 1990.
Mm. Wow.
And this is the CP.
Wow.
Yeah.
1990, it's almost doubled in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that's the CPI Inflation Calendar Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Wow.
Oh, I need to do my tongue-twisting exercises before I read these stats.
That's the impact of inflation, especially for those who intend to live longer in retirement. Ron, pay attention to inflation over time.
I don't think I can afford it.
I don't think I can afford it.
I'm sorry, I can't afford that.
That's my dad's favorite joke. I'd have a budget, but I can't afford it. all right. Speaking of my dad, who's a builder, the price of lumber increased nearly 50% from April 30th of 2020 to August 31st of 2020, the largest four-month increase ever in the cost of lumber based upon data maintained since 1949, and that's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
I don't remember voting for that. Who voted for that? What was the percentage again, Shay?
It is
50% up.
Yeah,
50%.
Was that at the beginning of the COVID? They anticipated bad times ahead, and they shut down the logging operations and the supply systems. And
we actually have a client in that industry, and he said we did just that. We started to work through all the different steps we're going to have to do to shut down operations, and he said, "Oh my gosh, the demand just zoomed, as did the price." So they're in deep clover.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We all had to stay home and do home improvements.
Yeah.
But you can buy paint.
Darling, where did you want that bureau?
Let's not forget the paint.
I think they decided all of that at a board meeting.
Honey, I don't think I wanted you build a table quite that big. Where are we going to put it? All right.
Who's going to come over? No one.
It was the lumber industry cabinet. They met at a board meeting. I think that was it.
This reminds me of a clip from Father of the Bride, which I think we should play later. Okay, let's talk about oil.
Oil?
Oil. Did I ever tell you a story when I was in North Carolina and my Subaru wasn't working and I pulled into a mechanic's place and he goes, "Baby girl, you got to put some oil in that thing." And I go, "What?" He goes, "Oil." I go, "Say it one more time."
You got baby girl, you got to put some oil in that thing.
And I go, "Okay,
that's
just
great.
Do what you got to do."
Baby girl.
I found it endearing. The break-even price of oil for Saudi Arabia in 2020 is $78 a barrel. 80% of the total government revenues in Saudi Arabia come from the sale of oil.
Wow.
The price of oil closed at $35.79 a barrel. That's West Texas Intermediate on Friday, October 30th of 2020. And that's from Statistica.
Part of our very low-cost economy. And those who are in production business would say it's too low.
Yeah.
But still, the point is the production's gone up dramatically, thus driving the price down and it keeping the cost internal to the economy itself extremely low. That's another huge benefit, even if it comes up, which would be good for all the producers, of course. Still, the prices, because we're producing more than 100% of our need, it's incredible how it benefits us economically.
Yep.
All right, here's a Social Security stat. We all like these. The maximum Social Security benefit paid to a worker retiring at full retirement age in 2021 is $3,148 per month. More than double the $1,536 per month maximum benefit paid 20 years earlier, so in 2001.
What would that increase be on a yearly basis about? Any ideas on a percentage basis? So it doubled in 20 years, correct, Shay?
More than 2%, double.
2%, 1.5%, up higher. 3, 4.
3.5.
3.5%.
3.5% about.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's the rule of 72, approximately there, okay?
Would you like to hear about bonds, or would you like to hear about Detroit?
You mean
you get to
James
pick.
Barry Bonds, or Barry James Bond, or Sean Connery, or what?
Sean Connery.
The late Sean Connery.
The late Sean Connery.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The $18 billion of municipal bonds that the city of Detroit defaulted on in 2013 is the largest municipal bond default in U.S. history. And that is from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, Pure Michigan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And here's my last one, although it pains me to stop reading Shay stats because they're so good this week. The bond market was up 6.4% year-to-date total return through last Thursday, October 29th of 2020. Bonds have beaten the performance of stocks using the S&P 500 in two of the last 10 years, wow. 2011 and 2018. The Bloomberg Barclays Aggregate Bond Index, calculated using 6,000 publicly traded government and corporate bonds with an average maturity of 5 years, was used as a bond measurement, and that is from BTN Research.
We'll be calling everyone in with a quiz on that particular question, Ron.
Yes, we will. Okay.
And by the way, interesting too to note, of note, is the interest rates coming down that much with the election because of the Senate situation and less debt. So bond prices actually moved up significantly in the last few days as well, adding to the return already generated from this year thus far. Now, in terms of stats, what Vanguard is saying, return projections for the next 10 years, U.S. equities overall about 4 to 6%. I'm rounding here. 4 to 6% per year. It's not significant. We're going to talk about the relative rate of return if we do have time.
What's U.S. equities? What do you mean by that?
United States. Equities from the United States of America.
Stock.
Of
stock,
America.
Okay.
Yes. Equities. Stocks. Amazon. Amazon.
Got it.
Facebook, that sort of thing.
I get
US,
that question.
U.S. value. U.S. value tends to be more conservatively priced stocks that tend to be more value-orientated. Okay. Between 5 and 7% annualized rate of return expected from those. So that's a bit higher. And the returns on value stocks have not been that great in the preceding years. And that's a good reason to expect. Isn't it interesting? Some of the more conservative assets have higher projected rates of return here in our immediate future. U.S. large cap companies, Procter & Gamble, that sort of thing, 3.7 to 5.7% per year estimated. U.S. small cap, smaller companies, don't have an immediate example here, but let's see, used to be Tesla, that's gone. 4 to 6%, the problem with small cap is sometimes they turn into mid cap and large cap companies. Small cap, 4 to 6%. So you're not getting the rate of return comparison versus more conservatively priced and conservative companies in the U.S. large cap realm. You may want to stick with the larger cap companies in terms of risk versus return. And the best estimated rate of return potential of all are by Vanguard are the global equities, international equities, 7.4 to 9.4% per year. Estimated annualized rate of return. Thus, Ron, the importance of diversification has never been more clear.
Well, I was going to ask that. I was going to say,
correct.
Well, if you look at that,
indeed.
And I wrote it down, I'm thinking,
all the audience agrees.
Why don't I put all my money into global equities if they're going to have the highest return, the predicted highest return?
Well, why wouldn't you put at least a percentage there, I would say? Because many do not have any representation from the global equity sector, and given that potential and its diversification strategy, you may decide you want to put some more in because, you know, a Vanguard might be wrong, Ron.
Well, what's the record, you know, on that? Because 10 years is a big projection. You don't know if we'll have a war or some huge technological discovery or go socialist. You know, could anything
happen? That's why you want diversification, because 10 years is a long time, and that's their estimated rate of return potential. But it still points up, you know, obviously they've got a lot of good research people there. They have a reason to be listened to, and that still points up the argument of diversification. It's general improving rate of return that you will receive in your portfolio, not paying as much attention to your immediate inclinations and not looking back. Many of us are looking at yesteryear's returns to try to guess where the next year's returns are. And that's not a good strategy.
Not a good strategy.
Not really at all.
Hey, do we have a question?
We have Chuck on the line in Traverse City for Prout Financial Design. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chuck.
My question is, you mentioned that the city of Detroit defaulted on its municipal bonds. For those that had, and I don't, who had money in that account or that those bonds, what happens? Do they get a tax deduction, or it's just shucks, or what?
Well, they get to write off the loss. So in that case, you know, it's a loss.
if indeed they did liquidate the position. But yeah, they're out. They're out.
Yep. You get to write off the loss.
Yep.
Okay. Whoopee.
Yippee. Yeah, really. Yes. Exactly. Not so much fun for those who own Detroit bonds.
Right. But as always, check with your tax preparer on something like that, I would guess.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Indeed, very much so.
All right, Chuck, thanks for the call there.
That's the importance of diversification and not having too many eggs in that one basket and or watch it carefully, right? So for decades, Howard Marks of Oak Tree Capital has been a savvy, very savvy, risk-averse investor who ironically operates in the high-risk sectors of the capital market. Just as an intro here as to what the relatively lower interest rate environment is causing, it's causing these returns that would be estimated given their risk to not seem as good. So I should be excited about 5.5% to 7%, 7.5% per year from stocks? From stocks? Well, given the relative lower rates of return and lower interest rate environment that we're in, I mean, what are clients telling us yesterday? Well, you know, Dennis, do you have anything for the CD alternative? They're at 0.1% right now. It's crazy. So given that all rates have been driven lower, it means then necessarily that the rates of return from risk-type assets are lower as well. Instead of 8 to 10, 10 to 12%, the return potential for higher risk assets have necessarily come down as well. And that's what Howard Marks is saying. A low risk-free rate brings down demanded returns all along the capital market line. So you can see this graph here, Ron, of the market line here.
Yep.
And how that shows the lower rates of return, estimated risk-free versus risk and return graph, the XY axis there.
By the way, on a CD or anything like that, whether you get 0.1% or 10%, does that mean per year on what you've accumulated? I've always...
Yeah, that's generally the yearly APY, okay. Annual percentage yield. All right. Yes.
All right.
So 0.1% on 100,000 would be how much, class? How much?
$100.
There you go.
Yay, Robin.
A pittance. I put $100,000
in. You're hired.
And I only got $100 back.
So much,
well, yes,
math.
But
so
you did. But you did get your principal back.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah, I got you.
That's the important component. If you need your principal back, you know, leave it in the savings account. If you have to have your principal back, sorry, it's a rough environment right now. In general, the lower the point at which capital market lines originates, the lower all returns will be. So they've all come down. The lower the Fed funds rate, the lower bond yields will be, meaning outstanding bonds with higher interest rates will tend to appreciate. Low interest rates and the resultant low prospective returns encourage risk tolerance and reaching for return, but don't reach too far. But know that it's relative now and anticipate lower rates of return for risk type assets. So those of you who are assuming 9 to 12%, sorry, that's a pipe dream here in these lower rates environment. I listened to Proud on the radio and got so depressed. Goodness.
We're trying to keep it positive.
It makes me so. Well, unless, of course, you're investing in real estate, and that's going to the sky here in Traverse City, is it not?
Boy, I can't
believe it. Because your mortgage
rates will shout out to Jack Lane. I know you. I appreciate that. In this way, low rates make risk aversion a challenging thing to practice and risk-taking much more palatable. What it means for the markets, invest as you always have and settle for today's low returns. This one is a realistic but not a very exciting prospect. You know, risk-free returns are in the dregs. And the problem, of course, is all that government borrowing that's going on. The European Union and the United States government are borrowing significant amounts. And that's going to tend to drive down the value of our currency and drive up the price. And I say tend to gold, silver, the resultant commodities that are a means of trade
a means of value, not necessarily relative to inflation, because we don't have inflation right now. But these commodities are not inflation contenders. They're much more currency contenders. They contend against the currency. As these governments borrow more, the currency tends to decline in price. So while all this other noise is going on, what do you need to say to yourself? How do I maintain my head when everyone else is losing theirs, right?
I need Shay, a drink. That was what came to my mind.
Take one more drink.
I need a drink. Well, we have a stat about the 80s and the economy in the 80s. So, I mean, I don't remember this, but was the talk similar?
Not at all, because interest rates were at 15%.
Right.
Yeah. I bought a CD the other day. It was 15%.
If you were lucky.
It was crazy.
15.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got a mortgage for 18%, right?
Yes.
My uncle's student loans were all at 15%. So, well, the cover story for Time magazine on March 5th of 1984 was "That Monster Deficit, America's Economic Black Hole." The article written by Charles Alexander chronicled how the nation's 1984 budget deficit threatened to derail the country's economic recovery. The fiscal year 1984 budget deficit was $185 billion, or 6% of the size of the fiscal year 2020 deficit that reached a record $3.132 trillion.
That seems like so easy to take care of. That
I know
from the 80s. I mean, because now we're in the trillions.
Trillions.
Yeah. Right now, our GDP, or gross domestic product, is in the 20 trillion range. So obviously, our market, our economy has grown significantly since then. But people have to believe at some point that our economy can drive us to be able to pay it down. That's why this increase in government debt is
concerning.
Thank you. It can be deemed as scary in some respects because it's approaching that tipping point of believability.
Ooh.
All right.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.